Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got a lot to talk about on this Friday as we head into the AFC-NFC Championship games. We will know who's headed to the Super Bowl when we get back here on Monday. And we got a bunch of guests to stop by as well. Mike, we got a special guest that is going to stop by at 3 o'clock. You do not want to miss him. Trust me.
Nobody ever tells me anything. You know, I'm always the last guy to know everything. Whenever we have a guest, it's like you guys expect me to just go right on social media and blab it away. It's like your birthday. I never remember your birthday.
Hey, go.
It is Carl's birthday today. I mean, and much like everything else in your life, a riddle wrapped in a secret.
Yes, it is.
How old are you now?
None of your business.
Oren, you want to place a bet? I mean, I'm 56. I met you.
I'm younger than that.
I know that. I'm doing the math. I met you in 2001.
Younger than that.
First time we hung out was in New Orleans. That was like, you know, wow, 24 years ago.
2001?
Yeah, that's the first time I hung out with you.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, back then, I would have been...
Man, that seems like yesterday.
I was going to say, I would have been late 30s.
Yeah.
And so you would have been...
Early 30s. All right.
So we give up. Anyway, it's Carl's birthday today. Just real quick, before we get into business.
My daughter was born in 04. So I was in my early 30s.
Right. Yeah. And we're getting having fun, getting it in. We went to that Christian Science reading room, and then we went home and went to bed. I didn't do anything that night, in case Michelle's listening.
That's a complete lie.
Watching, judging.
Yes.
No, but real quick, I say it all the time. This birthday comes up, and I always forget it. So I'm empty-handed today. I have to go get some stuff.
Oh, man, it's all good. No, look, we always, right.
But Carl is one of those guys. He always remembers mine, and I never ever remember yours because I'm a scatterbrain, just the way it is. That's why it's kind of like how the show works. But I just want to say that best partner I've ever had.
Thank you, sir.
And love you as a brother, and for you always putting up with me, lifting me up, and always keeping me on my P's and Q's, but always being the best partner and having the best success I've ever had in my 35 years of doing this with you. So happy birthday,
Listen,
my brother.
It goes both ways, man. I mean, like, success is a team thing, man. And you know this. We talk about it all the time. And we've worked with a variety of folks here. Mm. Since we've been together, and there have been people who have moved on to bigger and better things that we've helped along the way.
Yes.
But thank you, man. And I appreciate all the love out there. Lots of folks hit me up. It is weird. I will say this. Because with social media, it's out there, right in the ether, and people are like, oh, it's your birthday. Yeah, man. So people are asking if I have big plans. I will say no. But my wife did say, be ready tonight.
Oh, okay. I mean, he tucked in a shirt today, so he's prepared for something.
Dinner, Oren. Why are you looking at me like that? Dinner.
I was gonna say, you don't have the 3/4 zip and the sport jacket on tonight, so yeah. How crazy are you going to get, huh?
Dinner. Nothing like
you're
that.
You're going to rock those yellow frames tonight?
No, man. Look at you guys. Tomorrow because they're prescription.
It could be a dark restaurant. You know, never know.
These are transitional, so they get dark, too. Right. But I'm just saying.
It's Black Ice's birthday, so help him celebrate. On social media today.
All right, man. Thank you so much, Mike. Thank you, Big O. Chris is still out, guys. He's sick today, so he'll be back on Monday. We do have a special guest at 3. And the reason it's important is because as we head towards the playoffs, we will break down that along the way. But make sure you're here at 3 o'clock. Also, Bryant McFadden is going to join us. CBS analyst will get his thoughts, Mike, and I know he's got a lot to say about these matchups. I'll say this, man, and we'll get into what happened last night, because last night was pathetic. Last night, what happened at State Farm Arena was pathetic. But I will say this, the more I keep thinking about Jaden Daniels, I'm like, Dude, he might pull off the upset.
You know what?
He might pull off the upset.
You know, they were able to knock out Jalen Hurts. Remember, the Commanders' defense knocked out Jalen Hurts in this game. They were
concussed him.
You know, so they were, I think, what, they split this the in-divisional rival this year with the Eagles. Of course, they're in Philly. We know that. But it's I might jump on that Commanders getting six. I just, and I said this yesterday, I know, I get it, it still hurts about Dan Quinn and how we jacked the Super Bowl and the trajectory of the organization, everything got...
You're rooting for him.
I'm pulling for DQ and his and all his stupid idiosyncrasies and his dopey hat on backwards and his long
By
sleeves
way,
under t-shirts.
By the way, he's gotten away with that, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
Nobody has really said anything around the league about why has that coach got his hat on backwards?
By the way, today at the gym, give a shout out to Andre. I had my hat on backwards. I was doing some shoulder stuff. And he goes, man, what do you? I see you're a big Jeff Ulbrich fan already because I got the beard and I had the hat on backwards. But anyway, yeah, the Dan Quinn cult is all like a lot of backwards hats, white guys calling defense.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, sir.
We know.
Like, I'm over it. I have no hate in my heart for him. I just wish they'd communicated with Shanahan. That is what it is. But I am in pulling for DQ and the Commanders this weekend. And also our good buddy Mike Brooks up in heaven with our dads, long-suffering, you know, used to be Redskins. You might remember Mike on CNN, worked locally here on the radio on the AM dial.
He did love him.
And he lived and died for those Redskins and now, you know, WTFs and now Commanders.
Yeah, the thing that I hope we take from this, and then we'll talk about last night. What a disaster. Oof. This could be us. And I said this on social media a few days ago, and some guys killed me because they said, well, they changed owners. That's not our problem. The owner's not the issue, guys. The issue is not calling a damn timeout when you need to or doing something silly that we don't need to do. That's been our issue. And on top of that, we hadn't yet figured out this quarterback thing until hopefully now, okay? So DQ once again fell into, he had Matt Ryan here, and he fell into a situation where nobody knew the kid was this good. Right. We thought he was good. Nobody knew he was this good. Guys, he has put together the best rookie season in the history of the NFL. I want you to think about that for a second. And no rookie quarterback has ever gone to a Super Bowl. He's a game away. C.J. Stroud didn't do this last year, okay? So Dan Quinn didn't know that he would get this. And the defense is not great. It's okay. Like it's sometimes you need a little luck. We didn't get it in 16 when we needed it. He's gotten a lot of it this year. Guys, they won 8 games on the last possession of the football game. You tell me what that is. So I'm with you. I am rooting for him as well, simply because of our connection. And look, I don't have any ill will in my heart either. I love watching greatness, Mike. So if the kid wins, so be it. And if Dan Quinn's the coach, I'm not going to hate on him because, oh, well, he didn't do this for us. I told you guys he'd be better his second time around. This is year one. Washington is all of a sudden going to become a destination because of the guy that's playing quarterback.
Right. Guys, I was talking about this the other day. A couple guys already hit us up on the text line. No, Big Ben, it was his second year. They went in 2005. 2004 was Ben Roethlisberger's first season with the Steelers. That second year, they make the run, and they go all the way. And basically, he was not even a factor in that game. It was like Heinz Ward threw a touchdown pass in that game.
They had a great defense.
Right, and they had the bus.
They had the bus.
But, you go back and you look at all the great young quarterbacks. Carl mentioned yesterday, Dan Marino. You know, the Dolphins had come out of a Super Bowl and through, you know, the quirks of the draft. They got Dan Marino. But, no, he didn't go to a Super Bowl his first season. So this is something I'll be pulling for. I love Jaden Daniels' game. I love watching him as much as he scared me playing FSU as LSU QB. So that's something special. And then, look, I think the league really wants that idea of a three-peat. We'll get into it with Brian McFadden coming up. But, man, I'm pulling for the Bills, too. Because those fans, look, there's no more hardcore blue-collar. Western New York is its own thing, and they deserve it. I mean, those guys, those fans deserve a championship.
I'm with you. They're out there when it's 30 below, man, hanging out and doing their thing, and the chicken wings are really good. All right, the Raptors came into town last night. Now, the irony is the Hawks will play the Raptors again tomorrow, but it's games like last night that make me wonder what the hell this team is.
Oh. Nope.
The Raptors snapped a 9-game road losing streak.
9.
Okay. Where they couldn't lose. I mean, they couldn't find a way to win on the road. And when you looked at the roster, Mike, I mean, you might not recognize if a guy walked past you right now, you wouldn't know who Scotty Barnes is. And I know people who watch Toronto think he's a superstar. Mm-hmm. He's all right. The fact is, we didn't play defense. Jalen gets hurt, and all of a sudden, like, oh, Bogey finally shows up. But what a terrible performance last night by the Hawks.
I mean, do you realize this is only their second road win of the season? That's how bad Toronto is. Oren was talking about that this morning. I mean, this is what drives me crazy. Just when I start, we always talk about the Charlie Brown and Lucy pulling the football away. I mean, this is the NBA equivalent. Just when I start to believe in this team, and we will grill Steve Koonin about this at 4:40. Not my fault, but we will talk to Steve about it, the CEO.
Yes, we know.
Yes,
we've heard. Yes.
But I mean, think about their bench. I mean, they're rolling out like Kelly Olynyk. I mean, just a bunch of bums.
Bums, anyway, dude.
I mean, seriously.
Grady Dick. I'm like, who? He's barely. These guys. You don't know any of these guys.
Well, I mean, my God, Grady Dick went for 15.
They're not good. And the way the Hawks came out, Mike, they were flat. To quote Nate, they didn't play defense.
Lifeless.
They weren't focused.
They had nothing for Grady.
They were soft on the ball.
They were soft on the ball.
Dick. No, I mean, this is why this team, just when I start to believe, do you believe now, Trinity? No. No, I don't. Because you've had two crap losses. Okay, you had the worst shooting night of your lives against the Pistons. You followed up losing to one of the worst teams. This is inexcusable. And if you want people, especially Wrestler, his owner, his son, Landry Fields, whoever's picking the players, to sit there and go, okay, yes.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We are ready to reinvest and prime the pump.
Come on.
You can't do that.
Come on.
You can't do that.
I want to hear a weird stat. They're 7-1 versus like the Celtics and the Cavs this year.
Right.
They were Washington's first road win of the season. Washington has one road win.
Us. Right.
Now, Toronto has two road wins, and one of them is Atlanta.
We are the definition.
So the two worst teams in the league.
Oren, we are the definition of playing down to your opponent. And that's not what good teams do. Good teams finish, and they don't let them monkey around, or they stay in the game the way the Hawks did that. It's brutal.
It's brutal. And you didn't need Jalen Johnson to beat these guys. I'm sorry. I know Jalen got hurt. He has been dealing with shoulder inflammation. He fouls Scotty Barnes, speaking of Scotty Barnes, early in the second quarter, and he leaves and doesn't come back. I think it was precautionary, but, Mike, remember when he missed all those games and we were like, what's going on?
Right.
Maybe, he re-injured whatever was going on. The fact is, you didn't need Jalen to beat these guys.
No.
And it's just, I'm sorry. That was a pathetic performance. Somebody better step up on Saturday and get a little revenge. 404-726-0929. Mm. You guys can text us. As always, guys, the 2 o'clock hour is brought to you by our friends at Padley, P-A-D-L-Y. Sell your home fast, Padley.com. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk to Brian McFadden. We will get his thoughts on the championship games. And also, the coaching moves, Mike. We left the show yesterday, and a big shout-out to Atlanta United and all the folks over there at the training grounds. They do so well. They treat us so well over there when we go over there. But we left that show last night, and it was like, okay. And there were some things up in the air. We get home, and this whole Liam Cohen thing plays out.
Yeah, and boy, we'll get into it when we talk 4th-and-1 at the top of the hour. But the way it was just so just yucky and icky, lying to your employer, mentioning a sick kid while you're incommunicado with the Bucks while you're making a deal and getting them to fire their general manager. If you believe in karma,
boy, this Cone guy's going to have a lot bad run up there in Jacksonville. But, yeah, that one was wild. Then we find out the Raiders are going with Pete Carroll. Contract hasn't been signed yet, but it's been reported. And you and I were just talking off the air. 74 years. No, look, Pete Carroll looks like right now he could get in the gym and do, like, you know, bench 250 and go surf. He's a youthful 74. But still, no way. I wouldn't be going for Pete Carroll's third act of the NFL.
It's tough. They need structure, and that's why I think they went there. Mm. He does bring that. But it's not for the long haul. And that's the question. All right, we're coming back. B-Mac's going to join us, guys. We'll talk about the playoffs, the championship games, and more coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are glad that you're here on a Friday. We're going to talk with our man Brian McFadden here in just a second. We'll also get to the Daily Download. And we didn't mention this at the top. But Joe Corey, one of our favorite guys, is going to stop by in the 3 o'clock hour. Now, at 3, we do have a special guest you do not want to miss. But at 3:20, in between that, Joe Corey is going to stop by. Capologist, here's what we want to know. How is the Cousins situation going to affect us moving forward? And what does this cap look like for us? Now, I've always told Mike, and I've said this, I'm not a big cap guy because I always say teams work it out. But it is going to affect us. And when you say, well, Dukes and Bell, we should be going to get this linebacker right, and that safety or this guy, all of that is predicated on how this looks. So Joe Corey is one of the best. He's a former agent as well. He's going to join us here in the 3 o'clock hour, so stick around for that. B-Mac, man, what is going on? How excited are you for these games this weekend?
Man, I'm fired up. I'm fired up. You look at both matchups, man. Quality storylines associated with either side. Four teams that have earned the right to be at this point in the season. And like I said, man, I'm fired up. I can't wait to see how it plays out.
Everybody's talking about Jaden Daniels. You know, we've talked about him pre-draft all year. I just love this guy's game. And, you know, he's so cool and poised, man. We're hoping we're going to see that. And we have seen that at moments from Michael Penix. But Jaden Daniels, even like his facial expression, Brian, it's like everything just kind of rolls off his back, man.
No question. I was just talking about this earlier. It's funny you mentioned his facial expressions. I hate when I played against guys who always smiled because that meant they were comfortable. They're actually having fun. They're enjoying themselves. You know, my former teammate, Hines Ward, he was a notorious smiler. And right, whenever we saw Hines smiling, that meant, he's in his element. So when you look at Jaden Daniels, man, he's cool, he's calm, he's collected, he's comfortable, and it's like he's been here before. And when you look at what he's done, especially in the playoffs, man, he's looking like Jaden Daniels at LSU playing against SEC opponents. Detroit looked like he was playing against Kentucky last week, the way how he carved them up.
All right, so my question, and nobody's really been able to do it, I don't think Washington will do it on Sunday, and that is, how do you slow down Saquon Barkley? We saw him break off 200-plus yards last week, and I thought the Rams' front is, you know, they were on point. They got sacks. They got after it. What do you do? Because let's be honest, B, that's the formula, right? I mean, they're going to give Saquon the rock. He's going to touch it at least 25 times.
Yeah, the offense run through Saquon Barkley right now. It's been that way the majority of the season. So what do you do? Great question. I think for Washington, you have to keep the roof on the house. And what I mean when I say that, do not allow splash plays, especially from Saquon Barkley, because the Rams actually didn't do a bad job against Saquon. It was just the long plays is what we all remember and we all talk about. So when you play against a guy like Saquon Barkley, you have to play fundamentally sound football for four quarters, because you can have him bottled up going into the fourth quarter with only 40 yards of rushing. And instantly he can turn a 5-yard run into a 60-yard run. And before you know it, he has 100 yards. So you just got to try to eliminate the splash plays. And I'll say this too, guys. Jalen Hurts won't be the Jalen Hurts that we've seen when he's healthy. So now he's not a plus one in the running game. So you can kind of eliminate him, because I understand they're saying he was a full participant yesterday and the same can be said for today. But I don't take a lot of trust in that, because at this point everything's a glorified walkthrough.
Right.
So that knee ailment is going to prevent him from being involved in the running game. And now you don't have that dual threat you need to really worry about in the backfield that can put more attention on Saquon.
The thing is, our man Brian McFadden joins us, guys. You can catch his podcast, All Things Covered, 2-time Super Bowl winner here on Dukes and Bell. Jaden Daniels, you know, he is healthy. You mentioned that left knee just looks, the way that thing bent, it just looks so funky for Jalen Hurts. In the loss in week 11, he only rushed for 18 yards. in the game that was the weekend before Christmas, he really got after it. He threw 5 touchdown passes, 2 picks. So how do the Eagles do it? I know we saw guys try to spy him, and sometimes that doesn't work. I mean, the Buccaneers were kind of caught flat-footed trying to spy Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, with Jaden Daniels, he's too good of a quarterback at this stage in his career for you to show your hand to him, meaning basically showing your coverage. Mm. When you look at with Detroit last week, they just lined up in man-to-man, and he knew exactly where to go with the football. So what you got to do is you got to try to manipulate his eyes. Show him one thing, but play something totally different. You got to treat Jaden Daniels like you would do the Pat Mahomes of the world, the Tom Brady's of the world. Mentally, above the shoulder, his game is so elite, and he has the knowledge to know where to go with the football. So you got to manipulate him. You know, that's what we used to do a lot in Pittsburgh. We would show quarterbacks one thing, and then we would roll into whatever it is we're playing against, whatever we were playing at the 8-second mark on the play clock. And by that time, you don't have enough time to make any adjustments. You can't change the blocking protection. You can't change the audibles for the guys in the passing tree. So you got to go whatever it is that was called. And that would be the best recipe, I think, in terms of being successful against Jaden Daniels. You know, manipulating the coverage, so you want to have him thinking.
Is A.J. Brown going to be on the bench reading a book?
Yes. No question. Yeah. Hey, I'm trying to figure out this conundrum, right?
Right.
A.J. Brown is a legit go-getter. The same can be said for Smitty as well, Devontae Smith. But it's something about their passing game where there's been a disconnect. Mm. And even before the injury to Jalen Hurts, there's something for guys that at one point in time to be homeboys, like road dogs. For that disconnect, I don't know what's going on. So to answer your question, especially knowing that Jalen Hurts is not 100%, I don't expect to see anything in terms of A.J. Brown. Now, I could be wrong because he is that dude, but we just haven't seen the targets. And get this, guys, in the first 2 playoff games, Jalen Hurts has yet to throw for 150 yards. Mm. Think about that.
Yeah, that was the whole thing about A.J. and that little soap opera earlier in the year with like the lack of explosive plays, and then the squeaky wheel got the grease. Next thing you know, they're going down the field. But it's very, very inconsistent. Brian McFadden's with us, guys. We're previewing the AFC and the NFC. Speaking of which, we did the number. Look at the numbers, Carl, yesterday. The Chiefs, people have a legitimate beef. ESPN did the analytics and the stats. And when they get in the playoffs, other teams basically get three times as many penalties called against them as opposed to the Chiefs. How do you combat that? I mean, obviously, you feel there's anything, the corporate office at Park Avenue, they lean on these refs to keep it fair. Or do you think there is an agenda out there?
Hey, check this out. It's hard, but it's fair. And what I mean when I say that, the Chiefs, because of their greatness, they're getting the GOAT treatment. And if you guys that are listening to us, if you've been watching sports long enough, you know certain organizations, certain players, they get different treatment when it comes to calls. We saw that with Jordan. You know, we saw that with Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. And we're seeing that right now with Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. When you are that GOAT, when you're the greatest out there, sometimes you might get a call or two. It's always been tied to sports. So what you do is do what I used to do when I played. I used to butter the referees up like a biscuit from Cracker Barrel. Hey, man, Mr. Ref, how you doing? How the family doing? I don't even know if you got a family. I assume you got a family. I'm just going to ask. Man, the family doing good? Everybody straight? Yeah, everybody straight, man. It's good to see you, man. I love when you ref our games, man. You do things the professional way. Man, I'm just buttering them up. And hopefully when he see me hole a little bit on that out route, you know what? McFadden came in. He was very, very nice to me and polite. I ain't going to throw that flag right now. McFadden, that's a warning. You tugged him a little bit. Hey, Mr. Ref, I appreciate it. You got to try to butter them up because when you play against the Kansas City Chiefs, to your point, based on the analytics, they do get calls. And sometimes it makes you wonder. But then for the ones that are listening to us and say, man, they always getting calls. Name me one superstar that didn't get calls. Name me one legit great team or organization that didn't get a call or two. It happens in sports. It's always been that way. So there's no need to over complain about it. As a player, when you're playing against them, you got to play the game. Number one, you don't want to allow the referees to have a say-so in the game. So take care of your business. But number two, like I said, man, go ahead and butter them up a little bit. Make them feel good during pregame warm-ups so they might give you a little – they might show you some grace.
Hmm. You know what's crazy? Because you're right. But Mahomes, here's the other thing. He's not thrown a pick since the Bills game where he threw 2. We're talking about 7 weeks, 7, 8 weeks ago, right? And they had literally a month off after they clinched – So the point is, yes, not only do you feel like they get calls, but the reality is, B, they don't turn it over. He doesn't give you a chance to beat him.
No, they do not beat themselves, especially in January football. If you're going to beat them, you've got to beat them. And there lies the bigger concern, because we saw Josh Allen, he outplayed Pat Mahomes this season. Heck, he even outplayed Pat Mahomes last year. And they beat them this season. And if you go back to last year, guys, remember, they beat them in the regular season also in Arrowhead. But in the playoffs, what happened? To your point, one quarterback had turnovers, one offense had turnovers, the other didn't. And that it has been an issue. So in terms of beating Kansas City, number one, you have to protect Wilson, right? And you guys know what Wilson is. That's the football. You got to protect Wilson like it's a newborn baby. You got to make sure you cradle the football. Do not allow the Chiefs defensively to create turnovers, because if you do, you're going to go home.
It is Brian McFadden, guys, talking about the AFC and the NFC Championship. So I know that Josh Allen, we talked about the weapons. I mean, we have guys, you know, on that team. Keon Coleman's a rookie. The receiver core is just kind of a bunch of dudes. James Cook, who's going to be the secret sausage? It's always come down to Josh Allen improvising, making those plays. Are they going to put an emphasis on that? And isn't he due? I mean, after all these four games now with the Chiefs, isn't Josh Allen finally due to beat these dudes?
Well, to answer your first question, Josh Allen will have to improvise and make plays, and that's who he is. Their offense is better when he's doing that. And in terms of the pass catcher, it's time for Amari Cooper to show up. Amari Cooper can still ball. For some reason, we haven't really seen him surface in their play, in their offensive game plan. So it's time for him to show up. And, yes, Josh Allen is due. But we've seen this in professional sports. There are a lot of guys who've been due and just can't get over the hump. Mm. You know what I mean? And right now, in our game in the NFL, Pat Mahomes is like Michael Jordan in his prime. Because of Michael Jordan, guys like Charles Barkley didn't win a championship. Guys like Pat Ewing didn't win a championship.
Karl Malone. Yeah.
all great players. And right now, unfortunately, Josh Allen, he's in that category. He is like a Charles Barkley, a Pat Ewing, and a Karl Malone. For him to get to that level, he got to go through Jordan. And he is due, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen, because Pat Mahomes ain't ready for it to happen yet. So until I see otherwise, we had this same discussion around this time a year ago, and I will say the same thing. Until I see otherwise, I'm not turning my back on Pat Mahomes. I will not hit the snooze button on the Kansas City Chiefs.
You can't. B-Mac, thank you so much.
You can't.
Brian McFadden, guys, follow him. CBS NFL analyst, host of All Things Cover, the podcast. And we look forward to seeing what happens. We'll chop it up next week as we turn towards the Super Bowl. Thank you again, B.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Brian McFadden. Mm. All right, coming up. Daily download. Braves made a move yesterday. Lots of people still talking about it. Coaching changes around the NFL. Two new hires. We'll get to all of that and more coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I think one surprise around the National Football League, the Texans today fired their offensive coordinator. Now, the crazy thing is, Mike, as we talked about all these guys the last few years, Bobby Slowick is a guy that did a lot of interviews. He interviewed here for our job.
He was the last guy that actually did the interview before they made the call on Raheem.
And they have let him go. He's been, there 2 years. Year one with C.J. Stroud was great. This year, not so much. And so he went from being all of a sudden, this is what I was talking about with Ben Johnson, like, oh, wait. He was the hot candidate. And Now this dude's looking for a job. Now, I don't think he's going to be out of work soon. He's got a great reputation. And maybe it just didn't work there, or there was some, you know, disagreements.
Their wide receivers were banged up. In his defense, there was a lot. I mean, because you brought in Stephon Diggs, and he couldn't stay healthy. And they did have some other guys get hurt. And Nico Collins was banged up and wasn't 100% at times. But they just took a step back. And, you know, sometimes the sophomore jinx in pro sports is a thing. But it just seemed like C.J. Stroud I watched a bunch of Texans games here, and he just didn't look comfortable at times.
No.
Put it mildly.
No. And they couldn't protect him. The O-line sucked. Yeah. They fired their O-line coach as well. So they are looking now to upgrade at those positions, or at least those coaching positions. But that's a little bit of a surprise. Only because sometimes, Mike, to your point, you say, all right, bad year, injuries, blah, blah, blah. And we'll come back. D'Amico Ryans, you're not playing around. He's like, that wasn't good enough. And so they are moved on. We'll tell you more about what's going on around the NFL coming up here in just a little bit. Special guest to stop by in the 3 o'clock hour. And Joel Corey, our capologist, guys, former agent at around 3:20 to kind of discuss with us. And I say this because some things could change, but we know, like, the Cousins contract isn't. We know what that's going to look like, and we just kind of want to lay it out for you from that perspective. But also, Mike, we do not know, and this is going to come with the new league year, what the new cap number will be. And is it enough to compensate? Because let's just say it goes up $20 million. I don't know if it will, but, Mike, it could be enough to compensate and say, okay, hey, we kind of break even on this. We're still okay. Or maybe it goes up a couple million bucks, and all of a sudden we're still hurting.
Well, if anything history has taught us with the Falcons, Carl, just like in 2021, the year that the Julio numbers and all our cap space kind of came back to bite us,
yep,
that was unfortunately the residual effect of the 2020 COVID year, not having the revenue of fans in the stands everything else. So that's the year that it shrunk, first time it shrunk in like, you know, decades. This last season, the cap space went up $30 million. Mm-hmm. So if to your point, could we see that kind of growth again this year with the NFL? Because they'd be doing us a favor if so.
No doubt. So Joe Corey is going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour. We will talk to him. Hey, Big O is doing all the things today. He's behind the glass. Turtle is out. He's ill. He'll be back on Monday. We got to get to the Daily Download.
Story number one.
It just wasn't good enough, and it was ugly and pathetic. There's no way the Hawks should have lost last night to Toronto, a bad team. And we literally mean that. This is a team that could not win on the road, and now we are the victim of their first road win. Now, you could say it's the NBA, and that happens. It doesn't happen to teams that are feeling like they're going to be competing for a top four spot. Mike O mentioned it. You've beat the Cavs twice. You've beat the Celtics twice. You've beat the Knicks twice. Those are the top three seeds in the East. And yet you laid an egg last night?
Yeah, and we talked about, this is the concern now. Is Jalen Johnson going to be banged up now?
Who knows?
Because we just can't catch a break and stay healthy with these guys. I mean, Bogey, you know, he finally got his shot, finally found his three-point stroke, but nobody else really was rolling. Trey has been, you know, inconsistent at best with his three. I thought Dyson Daniels did his usual defensive kind of work last night, but you just let a bunch of nobodies, you know, come down and just beat you. I mean, as Oren pointed out, this is just their second road win. We've given some of the worst teams in the league, as far as bad road performances, they're like some of their road wins happen against us at State Farm.
Here's Trey Young talking about execution.
We didn't execute enough. Obviously, the way we finished, we didn't win. So that's what it is. I mean, we did a good job of getting back into the game, but we dug ourselves too big of a hole to start it. Started out, and that's being on a back-to-back. There's no excuse or anything like that. So we got to come out better, and it's 1 of 82. We got to be ready for the next one.
Yeah, they've lost now three in a row. His point is, end of the game, Onyeka has a chance, shoots a three. It's an air ball, but he has a chance to tie the game. It didn't happen, but that's what he's talking about. They gave themselves at least a chance late. But, Mike, it was a lot of work to try to get back in this one.
Yeah, the Raptors came out shooting in the first quarter. They outscored the Hawks by 10, and that kind of was the part of the margin that Trey talked about trying to battle back for. And then Jalen Johnson. I mean, that's a huge piece when you take Jalen Johnson out of the mix. And we were talking big picture. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, the cap come – what the trade deadline's what, same week as the Super Bowl, right?
It is sixth.
So you've got to hope that they come up with something to beat this up, or are they going to look at it and say, hey, my team's on the floor, and it'll just be some minor moves maybe to back up the point guard for Trey? I don't know. I don't know if their performance – see, do you feel their performance, that they have to get on a run to convince management to reinvest in this thing? Because it just seems like from what we've heard about – and the NBA cap is impossible to understand for most fans. It just seems like we're kind of like floating where we are, and there's not much room to really do much of anything unless trading an expiring contract for one. That's why the Capella thing comes up.
No doubt. Trey talked about not playing defense, and he talks about the entire team.
Yeah, I mean, defense was good in the second half, but that's how we should have started the game. We've had this kind of like thing, for a while now, where we'll play really good against certain teams. I mean, some of the best teams in the league, and then some of the teams that you look at the standings and you think you should beat, and people around you feel like you should beat. You don't come out and you just play to your competition. And sometimes, when you're in a league, these are NBA players too, and they take advantage of that.
Dyson Daniels had his four steals, but they did out-rebound. You did Toronto, and they did. Like, there's been a couple of teams that have some more size. We saw that more so, and more physicality in that Detroit game, which is, you can almost excuse that because Detroit's actually turned it around. They're better, but there's no excuse for last night.
Let's get to story number two.
story number two.
NFL playoffs, guys. In the NFC, Jaden Daniels has a chance to be the first rookie to lead a team to a Super Bowl. He was asked about it. Here's what he said.
Man, I'm not even thinking that far. It will obviously be a blessing, but, you know, I'm just focused on, you know, how can I be better day by day.
Now, we just had Brian McFadden on, Mike, and you talked about smiling all the time. Yeah. Just the chill demeanor on the bench. That doesn't seem like, and we know this is not the case, in his head is probably thinking about all this stuff, but outwardly, he doesn't seem like he's worried about anything.
No, and that's why I love this guy, because I saw this guy literally like squished like a fortune cookie by Florida State a couple times, and he came back for more. Remember, this is a dude that Jalen Carter picks him up like a human victory trophy, like a human victory cigar in the SEC championship against LSU, and he just, you know, that wasn't like, oh, man, you just got like the NFL version or NCAA version of getting posterized. No, man, this dude he's just got it. There's an it factor. And right now, Caleb Williams has to find it up in Chicago. Jaden Daniels got it. Bo Nix got it. We think Penix has it.
Yes.
Small sample size. Yes. Hopefully he'll show it coming up.
I agree. Meanwhile, A.J. Brown, the Eagles-Commanders game. Listen, if A.J. Brown balls out, I'm going to tell you, if he has 100 yards, I think the Eagles win. But he hasn't had that in the last two games. He didn't do it in the wild card. He didn't do it in the divisional round. Here's A.J. Brown talking about the numbers being down, but it doesn't matter.
I can't worry about what happened in the past or even these past two games. Only can look at the film and learn from it. And it's just kind of how the game's been going. Like I said, after the game, you know, I'm okay. We won. I had some incredible blocks for the spring touchdown. So regardless of if the numbers are not there, I know people care about that. But right now, you know, none of that matter. It's all about getting a win at the end of the day. So it don't matter.
Okay. I mean, that is the best attitude if, in fact, it's true. I don't know if, in fact, he honestly feels that right. way because, listen, stars want to contribute to these wins, Mike. And if you're telling me, dude, I got a block, we get the rock, and we're going to have 60 plays, and I got to block 50, 55 out of the 60 plays, mm-hmm. and I'm not getting the ball, like, some guys would feel some kind of way. But that's why this dude said he was reading on the bench to, you know, motivate himself a couple of weeks ago.
Like, it just, we're lucky with Drake London, and, you know, Julio was rather enigmatic. We never really got to see what Julio was all about. But some of these wide receivers, they really do play to that stereotype, just being pains in the butt. I mean, you know, you're expected to be able to run block in that system. You just touched on it. And there's dirty work to do. And I think at this stage of your career, you're trying to get the ring. Again, you know, I mean, you know how tough it is to get up to the top. You know, they fell short with the Chiefs. This guy's played for some mediocre Titans teams. So you think, okay, let's just go do it. But it just who's the squeaky wheel on every freaking team? The freaking wide receiver.
Yeah, it seems that way. We got great news yesterday. I like this move. Listen, I'm not telling you it's, you know, you're not signing Shohei Ohtani. Mm-hmm. But it's a guy that comes in and I think can contribute to our Braves. Let's get to story number three.
Story number three.
Mike, we were over at the Atlanta United training grounds yesterday when this story broke. Jerickson Profar, a guy that comes over from San Diego. Again, he was a free agent. They signed him to 3 years, the Braves, $42 million contract. And a lot of Braves fans were hitting us up saying, okay, so what's this mean? We had a great conversation with Grant McCauley late in the show yesterday, our Braves insider, talking about, you know, the lineup, where you might hit him. All of that is still yet to be determined. But, Mike, this gives you some depth. And also some insurance.
Right. And if you feel this guy can build on it, that's one of the questions I asked Grant yesterday. I said, why was he still available, you know, this late in January? Because he's coming off a career year. Maybe some other GMs, to Grant's point, are saying, okay, show me some more before I'm going to go cut you a check. But if this guy continues to rake at that level, 24 home runs, a .280 average, a lot of RBIs, then he is your left fielder. You know, once Acuna's back and then Kelnick is your swing guy backup, which maybe that's where he belongs, as Chris, our producer, if he was here, who hates Kelnick, would say. Far as Jerks and Profar, monster year in San Diego with a great lineup around him. If all our guys are healthy, it's a great lineup around him. So let's hope he rakes. And it's again, at 3 years, $42 million. If he does, it's another double-A bargain.
Let's hear from double-A talking about this signing.
Yeah, we assessed the free agent market, trade market, beginning of the offseason, you know, based on last year, of course. You know, we had Jerickson as the second best free agent bat, just based off the season last year. That's how good we thought he played and performed.
Hey, man, it's a nice fit, and we definitely knew we wanted to beef things up because at the very least it would have been a bunch of journeymen, you know, doing that with De La Cruz, a bunch of guys with if we're honest, with Kelly, wasn't exactly getting me fired up. But Jerks and Profar, it's a name, and I think a lot of Braves fans recognized that yesterday, and we're excited about the deal.
I like it. Again, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, but I do think that this is a guy that can come in and help. Last but not least, the Falcons have made a hire, Mike, that we knew. This is not the defensive coordinator. We know that's Jeff Ulbrich. But they needed to fill their defensive line spot, and they have done that.
With a guy that Jeff Ulbrich is familiar with. He was a defensive coordinator, of course, as you know, for the Jets under Robert Saleh. And our newest defensive line coach, Nate Ollie, comes back. And he is a guy that worked as the Jets defensive line coach. He also worked for the Texans last year, and he was with the Colts 2 years before that. So he's got experience in the league, and he'll hopefully get the most out of what we've got and what we're going to get in the draft.
I'm just looking at this. Fourth most sacks, 49. Texans also had the 11th best run defense. I'm just looking at some of the stuff that he was a part of.
And Danielle Hunter, of course, signed as a free agent. They lost Grenard. They basically flipped him because one went to Minnesota and they brought one down.
Yeah.
And they got after it. But as we said earlier, that's why Slowick got as the offensive coordinator, because defense were keeping him all those games.
All right. Well, we wish Nate Ollie the best, man. We got to get – look, develop. Develop. We got to develop some of these guys.
And by the way, if Ruka Rojo becomes the man, you know, I'll be happy to say, great. Then it doesn't matter about all those great corners that were behind him who all start right now in the NFL and are contributing. But Rook, maybe he this year he just pops. It's just, you know, if we're honest, generally we know pretty early. And anytime I've got it, like, remember you and I with Ebiketie. Well, he's getting better. Ebiketie is solid. He's not. That's a guy that, you know, they'll eventually have to decide if they're going to keep him on the roster. What's he going to be worth, or are the teams going to be interested, because he's consistently not putting six or more sacks up every year.
No, he is. And I think also, Mike, you know, the other side of that is, and we talk about this, who else are you trying to defend on the other side? Who else do you have to block? Like, if you're just telling me it's Ebiketie and we got to make sure he gets blocked because he's the only guy getting consistently to the quarterback, that's not enough. So, you know, that's the other part of this. Who else is a guy that you've got to focus on? But I'm with you. I think AK is fine. He is a guy that we at least now know what to expect and what we're going to get. And then let's either develop what we have or go get some other guys that can get to the quarterback.
And this is basically a contract year for Ebiketie, you know, because he was a second-round pick. So this is his final year on his initial deal, making less than $1 million, only accounts for 1% of our cap. So hopefully, if for him, whether it's here or elsewhere, he's going to ball out and give us the sacks and give us that heat we need.
No doubt. You guys can hit us up, 404-726-0929. This hour brought to you by Padley, guys. Sell your home fast. That's P-A-D-L-Y, PadleySales.com. Coming up, 4th and 1, Mike is not happy with the way this went down with the Jags getting their new coach. Has nothing to do with the Jags. It's more about the maneuvering that went down in his attempt to make this happen. We'll talk about that and a special guest on the way as well.